Well, good afternoon, everybody. Good to see everyone here again, and good to be with you again. I know it's, been about a year, perhaps, since last time I was here, I think. Was it spring holidays? Was it? I think somewhere around there, maybe early summer. But it's good to be back. Nice difference. Always in the spring and summertime here in Ottawa because of the lack of snow, which is kind of a good thing. I think we're all, this year, even us in Ohio, are a little bit tired of all that white stuff. We've had enough of it, especially this year in Ohio. We broke some records and actually set a record. We broke a 100-year record for the month of February with the average temperature of 15 degrees Fahrenheit. 15 degrees Fahrenheit. That was the high, average high for the whole month of February. And then during that month, we had some below zero Fahrenheit temperatures as well, which, needless to say, kept you close to the fireplace and made you keep your long underwear on if you had some because it was cold. And in Ohio, of course, you've got a lot of humidity, so it's a biting cold. You know, it really gets down to the bones. But at any rate, good to be with all of you. I did find the place. I was mentioning, you guys can run, but you can't hide. I got you. I knew where you were. So it was good to find you back here behind a Catholic church, of all things. Boy, oh boy. That is unique. I wanted to share with all of you before I get started here just a few things, announcements-wise, and some updates. With regards to some special prayers, I didn't want to kind of just blurt them out, so I thought I would just, since I knew I was going to come up here, share them with you. Maybe you can write these down and maybe perhaps even add them to your prayer list. Do keep the Justice family. Tom Justice, I don't know how many of you know Tom Justice. He is, boy, I'll say one of the older timers with the Church of God culture of this modern 20th and 21st century. Tom was actually the head of the printing department in Pasadena, California during the Worldwide Church of God. He headed up all the production and printing of the Plain Truth magazine, Tomorrow's World magazine. Back, remember, if you recall, the Tomorrow's World Good News magazine, when in fact the Good News was the only you had to be a member in order to get it back in those days, in the 60s and in the 70s. Tom printed all of those things, was really quite a go-getter and dynamo during the early years of the Worldwide Church of God and during its heyday. He passed away here about 10 days ago in his 80s. I don't recall exactly how old he was, but I think it was about early to mid-80s. And he had been suffering fairly regularly here in the last half a dozen years or so with some bad health. I don't know exactly what he died from, but I do know that he had multiple issues going on. So keep the Justice family in your prayers as they go through this loss, of course, the family in adjusting to his departure. Also, in addition, we have a gentleman named Steve Miller. He's been very helpful to me down at the feast site down in St. Petersburg, Florida. He is a ordained minister of an independent group that had ordained him. I know it gets a little complex when I tell you this, but nevertheless, that group is actually a CGI congregation. Their board of directors of that local congregation decided they wanted to be part of the Church of God International, of which they did. They became part of the Church of God International, and of which they are in Kansas City, Missouri. But Steve, of course, even though he's carrying credentials from that congregation, the CGI does not recognize his credentials at this time, simply because he hasn't gone through what we believe to be our vetting process. Nevertheless, really nice guy. He's been with us for many, many years. He was formerly with CGI prior to the troubles back in the 90s when Mr. Garner, Ted Armstrong had his issues and Ron Dart left the fold, as they say, and we had to kind of redefine ourselves. But they did come back here about a half a dozen years ago, have been now a Church of God International congregation. Steve, for all intents and purposes, along with another gentleman, Pinkerton, I think it is. Yeah, Pinkerton. He has been kind of hosting the group. But Steve, getting to the point here, is suffering from multiple conditions of cancer. He's about my age, 63 or so, and it does not look good. He got some bad news here last week, and apparently they have discovered additional tumors on the back of his neck and on his spine, and of which now apparently has attachments into his bones and lymph nodes. So it doesn't look good, doesn't sound good, and he's still, as much as he can, trying to stay up with it. But nevertheless, it is somewhat of a somber bit of news on his behalf. So do keep Steve Miller and his lovely mother, Beverly Miller, who is still alive as well. She was the wife of another of his dad, Steve Miller Sr., who passed away many years ago. And he was a minister, too, of the Church of God International. He passed, though, back in the, I would say, early 2000s, late 90s, perhaps. So keep the family, though, in your prayers. Appreciate that very much. Okay, well, with that, I just wanted to mention Charles Gross today. As I'm up here, he's down in Ontario. He came up from Tyler, Texas. I appreciate all you guys staying back to see me, of all things. It's always good for my lack of self-esteem to see so many come here to see me in view of Charles over there in Ontario. But he's over there as I'm over here, and they'll be having, I guess, Pentecost services someplace central in Ontario for Burlington, Toronto, Kitchener, and London. So they're all four of those congregations are all coming together to have a big powwow tomorrow, as we will be having our big powwow up here tomorrow. So they can have their powwow, we'll have ours as well. But I did want to mention that and let you know that Charles is over there in Ontario. And that goes to a little bit of the fact of the Canadian work. I wanted to give a little bit of an update on the Canadian work of some of the things that are indeed in process and going on, just to let you kind of in on some things. First of all, I wanted to clarify something, and that is that George Romacon, many of you probably have heard, George Romacon now is working for the Canadian Church. Well, he's working for the Canadian Church, but technically he's not an employee. Okay, so I just wanted to clear the air on that, just so that we all understand that. George is contracted by the Canadian CGI Canada, and that contract is only for 1 year to be reevaluated on the basis of performance and just exactly whether or not it still makes sense in the direction that we're going and so on. And a lot of thought has been put behind the efforts that we have now engaged in commencing this year of January, and of which, frankly, are actually going fairly decent. We're holding our own. I think finances, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but they're pretty much stable. I mean, we're a little bit of a loss, but it's not even worth a $1,000 difference between last year and this year that it's not even worth hardly talking about from that standpoint. But in lieu of the finances, I would say it's fair to say we're holding our own through these first spring holy days, not including, of course, Pentecost, but including the days of unleavened bread. And things are on the up. We had a recent campaign in Ontario back right before the Passover. And we had, you'll be reading about it, an article that George had just written. We're printing it right now in the International News, which will be getting a new edition out here in the next coming couple of weeks, of which reviews and reports on that particular campaign that we conducted there in Ontario. 220 people showed up. And we had sent out all kinds of public advertisements, pop-up ads on the Internet. And needless to say, it appears the Internet is definitely the way to go. Even the old snail mail of blitzmailing our database, of names that we have and sending them personal invitations via paper, with an envelope where they got to open it, the old way. Or you get your letter opener, or you use your fingernail. No, I'm just kidding. But at any rate, it seems like everybody, when I asked, who heard about the campaign via this way, that way, the other way, it turned out that email was definitely, these pop-up ads are definitely the way to go. So let me explain what I'm talking about. If you have not registered your email address with the home office at cgi.org, at www.cgi.org, I'm not talking about the Canadian website, the national site. I'm talking about out of Tyler, Texas, the home office. Register your email address there. This way you get on the database. Now what you do is you become available for any kind of pop-up ad that may occur. And what I mean is it may not just be a campaign. It might be a new booklet. Might be a new reprint article. Could be a sermon on some particular subject, be it current events or maybe some doctrinal interesting presentation that somebody did on a doctrine, maybe a very strong Christian living topic that was really inspiring and compelling. And you will have opportunity to be reminded that, hey, this is available. When in fact, you know, because we're all busy doing our thing, going in different directions, you may not know it, and then lo and behold, you check your email, and whoop, there's that pop-up ad saying, hey, look, go back, go to CGI website and take a look at this, and you can download it or PDF it or whatever you can, you know, when you get a chance, and take advantage of the opportunity of edification that comes your way through all the venues that we have. And we do have a lot of venues. Let me explain something here in this regard. We just started two new little vignettes, I call them. We've been having the YouTube presentations. They're little 10-12 minute presentations on some topic. Generally, it's some little thing, like right now we've got Wayne Hendricks on there doing something on baptism. It's a little bit of a 10-12 minute dissertation on baptism. What's more important, though, in these presentations is also the booklet or the article or the tape, and not tape, but disc, 1 hour presentation or whatever on the subject that expands on the subject, because 10 or 12 minutes, let's face it, it's primarily just an infomercial, if the truth were known. You know, it's not really meant or designed to really be an exhaustive, comprehensive explanation of the topic. So the fact of it is, we're hoping to drive people to get the literature that we have to offer, and that does two things. One, of course, it gets the literature in the hands of the people that they now have material they can study. Two, of course, the byproduct of that is you become familiar with the understanding of what we understand the Bible to explain about that subject, so that people become familiar with what we already have printed for your edification, for your benefit, and for your understanding. A lot of questions, brethren, we get in the ministry oftentimes from brethren that actually we've had booklets on. We've had a reprint article on. We've had a one-hour presentation on, maybe multiple one-hour presentations on this subject. And so what I try and do is, when someone asks a question about something that I know we've got a very good written document on, I always try to direct them to that, so that they can get the written word and take some time in their own study, between their own ears, and take their time and go through it, rather than me rattling off 100 words and probably remember maybe 10% of it, you know. And you can't take it home because you don't have a recorder on there. If you do, that's bad. You shouldn't be recording what I'm talking about. But, or at least tell me anyway. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I'm saying. A lot of us don't take the time to get familiar with what we already have printed. That's what I'm saying, or what we've already said about something. So if we do that, I think you'll find that the Church God International is quite comprehensive in its scope of defining what we believe and understand the Bible to say in this modern 21st century. So do get familiar with the materials that are advertised on these little vignettes. And again, I say the YouTube is just one. We've created now in the last month two new ones that we've come up with. One is called Biblical News Updates and Commentary, and the other one is called Web Chats. Both are different formatted. We've got our television studio now to the point where we have about four different sets. We've got the Armor of God standard set with the map behind the guy and the two camera shot. We've got the second set where we've got Wayne Hendricks and myself or someone else perhaps sitting in a couple of leather chairs with bookshelves behind us. And we're sitting and chit-chatting casually, just talking. And by the way, just for clarification, because we've gotten some questions, or not questions, actually we've got some critiques, and they even had some people mad, believe it or not, at the fact that they sent in, I thought that was a debate. You and Hendricks are supposed to be debating. It sounds like to me both of you are on the same page and you agree with each other. Well, it was never meant to be a debate. It's called web chat. It means two guys chatting, or a guy and a gal chatting, or three guys chatting. And if we have four or five or six guys chatting, it's chatting. But it was never intended to be a debate. It was intended for you to have opportunity to sit in on eavesdropping, in this case, a couple of guys, about a topic. And I think we've got a list of topics. We've talked about the rapture. We've talked about the origins of American, biblical origins of American Great Britain. We've recently talked about politics and religion. Ooh, that has been quite a stirrer, if I might say so myself, because some people say, you shouldn't be talking about politics. The Bible stands by itself. Don't bring politics into the Bible. The whole Bible's about politics. I mean, you can't get away from politics. But nevertheless, Everybody's entitled to their wrong opinion, as my daughter would say.
my daughter would always come up to me and say, "Dad, you're entitled to your wrong opinion, you know," because she knew everything. Now she realizes at 40 she doesn't know as much as she thought she knew when she was a teenager. That's another story. I won't get into my personal life and bore you with the details. But at any rate, these two vignettes, that one, the web chat, and then, of course, the biblical news and update and commentary, biblical news updates and commentary, is a whole new one, which is already generating some stirs. We did a topic on the temple with regards to the Temple Institute group, who claimed that they have now built this altar that's 16 feet, this is a serious altar, 16 feet high, 52 feet wide. This is a major altar built allegedly according to the specifications of the temple, of which they want to build where the Dome of the Rock is, and this altar is going to be part and parcel to reinstituting the sacrificial laws that they want to reinstitute in the temple that they want to rebuild. And so we do a little bit of a presentation on them to try to keep things in perspective. You know, a lot of these people, they get off on these tangents, they fill themselves all up with hyperbole, and then the lap gun goes, "Okay, the end days are here, you know, Jesus is returning tomorrow, you better pack up and get your bullets and your dehydrated foods and grab your gold and silver," you know. And people get, you know, they really take it hook, line, and sinker. They won't get their teeth fixed, they don't, you know, save money for their children's education. And lo and behold, we've been through some of that years ago, going back into the 60s and 70s, of which, you know, we don't want to fall party to anymore. We want to be a little bit more balanced. Now, we don't want to go to sleep at the switch either. We still want to remain vigilant, but we want to be pragmatic, we want to be balanced about it, and we want to be biblically attached, not to the opinion of men, not to the opinions of certain personalities, but to God's Word. And so there's things that we're using these vignettes to try and use them as communicative venues to communicate the balance, to try to illustrate what, you know, perhaps the Bible is actually saying about this. And don't forget about that, because even though this guy is saying this, the Bible says that, and that's what we ought to believe over this, because this guy obviously is not reading that. You know, he's reading something else. So the point of it is, these venues we're trying to use them in that regard to do that, as well as address certain social issues. We've got a second one right now that has really generated some blogs on other websites, not necessarily on our website, but really took me to task on this most recent event from the Presbyterian Church in the United States, which has now accepted homosexual marriages as being authentic Christian relationships. And so, needless to say, we took that to task and was just forthright with what the Bible said about it and got a lot of feedback on it. But nevertheless, it's important we do these things, because these voices of what the Word of God actually says are not being heard like they should be heard today. Instead, what's happening is a lot of the progressive and what you could say liberal points of view are making their headway, because good people are standing down. They're not saying anything. You know that old adage, all it takes for evil to increase and rise, or an evil man to gain some ground, is for good men to stand down. And we're not going to do that. We're going to be a voice in the public square, and we have means and venues to do that with. And it's important we do, because that's part of our calling, as you will see once I get into this presentation, if I ever do. But it is a very important responsibility, brethren, that we have to Jesus Christ and to the Word of God. And these venues afford some of those things that we need to be doing. So keep that in mind, because you will be getting then reminders of these new commentaries or these new web chats or a new armor of God, which are going to be popping up, like we've been popping them up about every 2 to 3 weeks, a new one, trying to keep the website fresh. And again, also let me encourage you, go to the website on a regular basis if you'd like, because I mean, your funds, your tithes and offerings are funding all of these assets, we call them, for lack of a better term, to help continue to preach and forge ahead the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're the stakeholders of this work,
And we appreciate it very, very much and are grateful to all of you for your continued support, and both not only money but prayers, most importantly, and of course your constant support and attendance with church services and the help of wherever you may contribute your time and effort. So thank you for that very much, because that's very important as well. That's what makes it all go around and work real well. So do that, if I can encourage all of you, and to keep abreast of what that internet is doing. So I thought I would just share those things with you on this basis. We also had a campaign, also talking about campaigns, on that one in Ontario. We had 220 in attendance. 80 people were brand new, and that was from that internet. These were first-time attendees that did not attend a Church of God International-sponsored event. 80 out of 220. In Lakeland, comparably speaking, we had about 70 people show up total over the afternoon, two presentations, roughly about 25 brand new ones, comparably speaking. Each area is going to be different. Each area is going to be different. For whatever reason, that area over there in Ontario by Toronto, I don't know what it is, but it's just a hot spot. I mean, we draw just hundreds of people when we throw these things together, because that last one that we did right before Passover this year was one of about six leading up to that we've done years previous. And we're always drawing over 100 people over there. You know, somewhere between 100, 150 generally is the rule in that Ontario area. And it's surprising, too, because you know it as well as I do, and I mean this is no criticism, it's just an observation. Canada's very humanistic and very secular. Some multicultural, but it's very secular. A lot of atheists up here, you know, and a lot of multicultural religions of all sorts, from Eastern religions to Middle Eastern religions, of course, and to agnostic individuals that just, you know, really have a position on God, but they don't know what kind of God they're positioned on. But point being is that it's a different kind of social, cultural environment up here, and yet over in Ontario, we seem to draw quite an interest over there. So we're just going to keep it up and see what happens, and continue to strive to be a voice in the public square that will cause people to be compelled to think, because it is a day and age when the Bible is definitely under scrutiny. It is definitely under criticism, and without a doubt, brethren, is becoming more and more a book that the public square, or that the secular society, or at least I can speak on behalf of the United States government, the U.S. would like to see outlawed as hate speech. Because it gives leverage to the fact that we can kick back on cultural issues such as fornication, such as adultery, such as homosexuality, same-sex marriages. And that's just for starters. How about abortion? How about capital punishment? How about all of these things that even maybe we don't agree with, like capital punishment? That's a debatable issue for some people, even within God's church. But the fact of it is, we look at it from our perspective today, in that we're more tolerant of particular events that we deal with, whether it's rape, whether it's murder, whether it's incorrigibility, like rebellion from a teenager that just will not listen. And the fact of it is, if you were capitally punishing as they did in Israel, did anybody ever wonder why Israel had no jails? There's a good reason why Israel had no jails. They had cities of refuge. They had cities of refuge. You know, if Jim and I were out and we were, you know, chopping wood and the axe came up and cut my head off, Jim would take off to the city of refuge until he could prove his name. It was an accident. I didn't mean to cut Bill's head off. You know, it was an accident. The axe went off and Bill's head was in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know. and they would go and go ahead and talk Jim his innocence, and, you know, and he'd be okay. That way my family wouldn't go out and chop his head off. But my point of it is that on the other side of that coin is Israel had no jails, because, you know what, if you murdered my mother, you're a dead man. They didn't tolerate it. You raped my daughter? Sorry, you should have thought before you did. And guess what? Word gets around that, you know, hey, they're killing people for rape. Hey, they're killing people for murder. Hey, they're killing people. If I spit in my dad's face because I'm only 12 years old and I tell him I hate him and I want to kill him, they're killing kids. Guess what? Maybe, I would say, a handful might, until the message got clear, and you wouldn't have 12-year-olds spitting in their dad's face telling them I want to kill you. You know. But we don't look at it from that point of view. We look at it from the point of, how can you do that to a 12-year-old? You know. How can you do that to a murderer? Why would you want to kill Jeffrey Dahmer? Why would you want to kill Charles Manson? He's such a nice man.
So you pay $30,000, $35,000, $40,000, maybe $45,000 now per year to keep these guys alive. For what? That's a question that we can constantly ask. Nevertheless, bottom line is, this book gives leverage to addressing a counterculture in a culture today, brethren, that you understand and that you know is growing further and further away from this. We are in a drift, and we're drifting off this grid. This grid is no longer the definition of the United States' culture, nor is it the definition of Canada's culture. It's not the definition of Britain's culture. It's not the definition of any nation that was once considered, including Australia. I mean, Australia is very, very liberal in many respects, compared to the mores of this book. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So it's important that we all understand the language is being changed. Political correctness has a lot of things that are hog-tying those of us who want to speak out on this. And they're passing laws to the point where if indeed you do go public with some of your opinions that are along these lines, that contradict laws that now are being passed, then that's what's happening. You end up in jail, or you end up in a lawsuit, or you end up being sued. And those days are coming, as I point out in that Presbyterian Church presentation on biblical news updates and commentary. If we think that we're going to be avoiding those kinds of criticisms, we've got our head in the sand. The time is coming, and I'll give you a good example of this. I don't know how many of you know this or not. There's already a new version of the King James Bible out today. It's called the King James Version. They're changing the language. What do you think the King James Bible Version does? That's right, it takes the edge off of everything pertaining to homosexuality. It takes the edge off those scriptures so much so that some of those scriptures are no longer meaning what they meant. They actually have changed the interpretations of the scripture. The reason being, they know it's in the language. That's why I refuse to use the word gay to describe homosexuality. As I say in my presentation, in the Presbyterian Church presentation, when I was young, if I was gay, I was happy. Billy, you're a happy little boy. Yes, I'm gay. And today, Webster says gay. If I call you gay, I got to be careful because it's a noun. It describes the relationship. It's defined as the relationship of two homosexuals, or homosexuals. So they're changing the language. The language is being changed. And it's important that we all understand this.